It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks so much for listening. You're listening here at Joy 620, or maybe you're listening to the podcast that we'll have up before the week's out. You can find that on iTunes and on our webpage, investinghope.com. You can also find us on Facebook and other places as well. We are just happy to be here. So we just came off the weekend where we celebrated dads. And so we call it Father's Day, and that's, for some reason, has always bothered me, and I don't really know why. It's very petty why it bothers me. But growing up, there was in my house growing up, there's a plaque over my parents' bed, and on my dad's side of the bed, there was a plaque that said, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And so in our house growing up, my dad was not happy. He would not want us to call him father, not that we ever did, But that saying stuck with me for years, still sticks with me today, that anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. A dad is someone that's engaged in the process. A dad is someone that loves his child. A dad is someone that will put in the time, put in the effort, and go the extra mile for their child. And so Sunday we celebrated Dad's Day. And we took an opportunity to tell those in our lives, those that were either biologically our father or those that stepped in and became a stepdad, or those that stepped in and maybe it was an uncle, maybe it was a granddad, maybe it was a friend of the family that kind of mentored us and raised us up right. We took time to tell them happy Father's Day. And so I think it's important that we do that. And I know we focus one day a year to do that, and if you compare, not that I want to start comparing Mother's Day to Father's Day, but someone tweeted out over the weekend that on Mother's Day we celebrate moms and we give them roses and all of these things, and rightfully so. And on Father's Day we do sermons based on how much of a failure dads are, and there, that was a joke obviously, but there is some truth to that. And so what we tend to do as men and as Christian men and as people that are in ministry is we use the day, Father's Day, to not just challenge men, but at times really go after them and point out the failures. And so what I wanted to do today, at least with this first segment, is not simply attack and challenge men, but to celebrate those that are doing the work. So I've written in the past about the role of a father versus the role of a dad, and you can go on our website, investinghope.com, and read about that. But ultimately, it's just how one is distant and one is engaged. So I'm not going to rehash that here, but I do want to let dads know this, that you matter. I realize that many of you do not like to hear mushy talk, but you need to hear this. The intentional effort to be there for your child no matter what is noticed and welcomed. Your presence at the ball game, recital, and graduation is longed for and appreciated. Your voice and wisdom in our lives never loses its impact. The time taken out to go to the father-daughter dance or to throw the ball around will change lives forever. Now trust me, we notice your work ethic. We see your drive to provide and protect us. We know you act tough, but we have seen your eyes well up when we accomplished our goal. We didn't make a huge deal of it, but we also noticed you cringe when we fell off our bike. You told us to get back up and dust it off, but we know that when we hurt, you hurt. We have told you multiple times that your loud cheering when we are on stage is embarrassing. But the truth is, your voice penetrating the silence brought us comfort and eased our nerves. I know at times we seem to buck at your pushing of us, but your pushing made us who we are. We also have a confession to make. Do you remember all the times you had to crawl in the back of your vehicle to pick us up because we were asleep? Well, most of the time we were actually awake. We just really enjoyed using your shoulder as a pillow. We felt safe and secure in your arms. We also realized that many of the races we had growing up were not completely honest. How could the strongest and fastest person on the planet get beat by a six-year-old? We know that you let us win, and we thank you for giving us that boost in confidence. I know there were times growing up where you felt unappreciated or forgotten about. I'm sorry for those times, but please know that you were never far from our mind. Your love and affection was wanted and certainly appreciated. So this past week and every week, we celebrate you. The dad that fought for his children, the stepdad that never questioned his responsibility to his stepchildren, a single dad that went at it alone, the adopted dad that chose his children, and the married dad that humbly worked with his wife to make a wonderful home. The role of a dad is one of the greatest gifts I have ever been given, and it's truly an honor to join in your company. So I hope that you celebrated Father's Day. I hope if you're listening to this today and you're a dad, that you had someone celebrating you. But I also realize that for some of us, we take Father's Day, we take holidays like this, and we have self-reflection. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, have we failed as a dad? And there's no doubt that some of you are listening to this and you're saying, I have failed miserably as a dad, which we all have our faults. We all have our moments of failures. I would simply encourage you that it's never too late to make those things right. We see every day at Hope Resource Center the patients that come in that are facing pregnancy alone because the man in the relationship has bounced. The man in the relationship has left the relationship. The man in the relationship didn't want to put in the work. And so what I would say is there are amazing dads out there doing amazing things. And there are some guys out there that are simply fathers and they're not willing to put in the work. But the vast majority are good dads and are putting in the work. I always think about my upbringing. And my dad certainly had his faults, but still, I talk to him quite a bit, almost every day, and still involved in that relationship. I have a stepdad that came into my life at a very influential time when I was 14, 15 years old, and it certainly had his faults, but what he taught me and the love that he showed for me, even though he was not my technically real dad, was unprecedented and was amazing. I have granddads that I've talked about on the show before. My pawpaw, who is my dad's dad, who died just a couple months ago, who showed me what it meant to be a man. I have my mom's dad, my granddaddy, who is an amazing man and someone that I've always looked up to. And so I don't take it for granted that I've had men in my life that have been willing to put in the work. Men in my life that were willing to put in the sacrifice, that were willing to drive me to ball games and be a part of ball games and take me where I needed to go and put in the work ethic, put the work ethic in me to show me, look, this is the path that you need to take. I don't take that for granted because I know that there are people out there that didn't have that growing up, that didn't have that luxury. And so what I'm saying to you is, if that was your past of no man that wanted to be the dad in your life, then let's correct that now. And if I had an opportunity to speak to every patient that walked in the doors of Hope, especially the males, that's what I would say to them. Is don't be a statistic. Put in the work. I've had that conversation with male patients that found themselves in a situation with their girlfriend facing an unplanned pregnancy. And I looked at that guy in the eye and I said, what are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to put in the work? Or are you going to become a statistic like your dad was? And praise God, that man is putting in the work and loving his kid. And it shouldn't be something that is abnormal. That should be the norm. We found out recently that my wife is pregnant again. And so we're having this is the fifth pregnancy, but baby number four. We lost our second baby to miscarriage. So fifth pregnancy, baby number four is coming January 2018. And I'll talk more about that in a second. But as I watched that ultrasound yesterday, and I watched our 9-week-old baby in my wife's, inside of my wife, And I watched it move like an inchworm. And then we saw some movement, and we said, "What is that?" And they were like, "Well, that's the legs." And then we saw something flashing, and that's the heart beating at 175 beats a minute. 9 weeks pregnant. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful truth of, at 9 weeks pregnant, that's what we see with that baby. And the only difference between that child and my six-year-old is proximity and growth. That's it. That's where we all started. And so we celebrate that. As a dad, I'm going, yeah, I mean, we're going to have four kids, four young kids. But what a blessing that is. That God has chosen us to invest in and pour into the lives of these children, of Gavin, of Summer, of Evelyn, and of, we don't have a name for the next one yet. It's a beautiful picture. And so I don't take it lightly, and you shouldn't take it lightly either. If you are a dad, it's one of the most important jobs you've ever been given. Put in the work. Put in the effort. Put in the sacrifice. I promise you won't regret it. We'll be back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thanks again for listening. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of those places. Read our blog, listen to the podcast. Reach out to us if you want to volunteer, you want to help us out. If you want to give, there's a big blue donate button on our Investing Hope page. We'd love to partner with you in this work. So I was just talking about dads and the importance of dads, and I think at times around Father's Day, we usually point out the failures in dads, and if you watch TV, if you watch sitcoms, what do you see? You see failures in dads. Typically, the dad is the buffoon. He's the moron that can't get anything right. He struggles, and so he's the butt of all the jokes. And so that's what we see in sitcoms. That's what culture has done. That's what society has done. And it's funny. It is funny. It wouldn't feel right, I guess, if the mom was the butt of all the jokes. And so from just a respect standpoint, I get that. But what we have done is we've created this idea that it's weird for dads to hug and kiss their children. It's weird for dads to make their children lunch and get them ready for school and sit down and read with them and do those things. We act as if that's a strange thing, but in reality, that's the type of dads we should be celebrating. And so I hope that you took time this past Sunday. I hope your church took time this past Sunday to celebrate the dads and to show them that they have value, that they matter, that ideally that they make a huge difference in a child's life. And so hopefully you did that. But I also said that we recently found out that we are going to have another baby in the Woodhouse. And so we're excited. As I was driving in, I was listening to an interview, and they were talking about Hanson. And if you remember Hanson, they sang Mbop and other songs. And they had really long blonde hair, and they all were really young. Their first video of Mbop was them rollerblading around. And I remember that because I was about their age, and I was also rollerblading around. And so they recently had an interview where they were talking about Justin Bieber, and you don't need to know all that. But that's why they were in the news. And so one of the hosts that were doing this interview said, between the three Hanson boys, they have 11 kids. So they have 11 kids. There's three boys, and they between the three of them, they have 11 kids. And so I was thinking, okay, I have two brothers. So between us, the three Wood boys, we're going to, let's see, we'll have four. My oldest brother is about to have his fourth, and my middle brother has three biologically, and then he has three that are his stepkids. So you count them, that's six, four, and four. So we have eight, and six is 14. So we have between us, between the three Wood boys, we have 14 kids. So my mom's got grandkids coming out from everywhere, and so we're excited about that. But it's interesting, as we have kind of let this news get out to people, you hear things from people, and people will say, well, you know how that happens. People will flat out ask, are you on birth control? You know better, those type things. And it strikes me as interesting that Christians would look at us and say some of those things. We are celebrating the fact that we're having another child, and we would hope people would celebrate that with us. And we certainly understand that a lot of people aren't having the big families anymore. And you know, my granddad and grandmama had six kids, and I know that's not the norm. I'm not saying that we're going to have six. I'm just saying that four is not that many. And if you look back in the history of time, families were a lot bigger than just six as a total in the family. People were having a lot of kids. And so I say all that to say that remember your words matter and they have value. So as we celebrate dads, as we celebrate pregnancies, as we celebrate families, we have to be consistent in that. We can't say ideally we would want a husband and wife raising up their kids and then look at that husband and wife and say, how dare you have another child? I mean, it doesn't work that way. You're creating shame within a family unit that shouldn't be there. We should be celebrating that. And so we you know, we're excited about the newest edition that is coming. But the interesting thing, and here's what I wanted to get to. So I told you earlier that our second child, we had a miscarriage. So we got pregnant with Gavin. It took us. We had a lot of issues, took us over probably 2 years to get pregnant with Gavin, our first child. And then soon after we were pregnant again and we were like, wow, this is quick and probably a little bit quicker than we planned, but awesome. It wasn't maybe the struggle to get pregnant is not going to be a struggle anymore. And then we found out in January of that year that we had a miscarriage. And then here comes summer. Here comes Evelyn, our next two kids. But notice that the miscarriage happened in January. And now we're expecting our fourth child. When? In January. And so to me, that just is grace from God. And just an amazing picture of that His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts better than our thoughts. And we are just amazed at what He's allowing us to be a part of. And we just trust that... again, that he certainly knows more than we do. But it was striking to me to find out that our baby is due in January, and even down to the day, almost the exact same time when we had a miscarriage a few years back. And just shows us that we're not in this alone, that God is certainly involved and aware of what's going on. And at times with my work at Hope, it's easy to lose track of and just think, okay, we just have a system, we have a great model in place, and it's going to run itself. And it's easy to forget that model only works if God is present, that system only works if God is present. And so the past few weeks of finding out that we're pregnant and everything with that has just reminded me again that, look, God is involved in this, and this only works if He's involved in this. Hope Resource Center wouldn't have opened its doors had God not been involved in that. The abortion clinic in 2012 wouldn't have closed its doors had God not been involved in that. I wouldn't have come to work at Hope a couple years back had God not been involved in that. Had we not moved to Knoxville in 2008 from a little small town in Middle Tennessee? I mean, all of those things work together to bring us to where we are today. And it's an amazing truth that we celebrate. And so all that to say that I think it's important that we don't neglect the truth that God is engaged and involved in all of these things, and none of it is a surprise to Him. And so I would just encourage you to take some time to celebrate those in your life. Even if you're listening to this and you're like, look, Father's Day is miserable for me. My father was absent and never engaged in my life. So why would I even think about celebrating that? And I get that. I hear you. But have there been men in your life that have been engaged in the process? Maybe there hasn't. Maybe you're listening and going, no, there hasn't. Every man that I've ever been in contact with has been terrible. And that's certainly possible. And I would apologize to you for that. But hear me when I say this. There are amazing men out there doing amazing things. And this is coming. I have two daughters, so I could very well possibly have a third daughter in January. And so I think about what that looks like as they get older, and I hear people say, oh, there's no good men left, there's no good men out there, and all these things. And I pray, and I know that's not true. There are good men out there. And I pray that my daughters find a good man. But one thing that I can control, I may not can control exactly who my daughters wind up with, but what I can control is what kind of man I'm going to be in their lives, what kind of dad I'm going to be in their lives. And so in that process of being the dad that I've been called to be, that's what we control. And so if you're a dad out there listening today, that's the one thing you can control. What kind of dad are you going to be today? What kind of dad are you going to be tomorrow? What kind of dad are you going to be when your child fails? When your child messes up? That's what we need to be thinking about. Because I can assure you there's going to be a day where they fail and they mess up. So how do we respond? How do we react as the dads that we've been called to be? Those times matter. Those things matter. They're going to make lasting impacts on your kids. And so hug a dad's neck today. Celebrate them. And hope you did that this past Sunday as well. When we come back, I want to shift focus a little bit and talk about the most recent report put out by Planned Parenthood and look at some numbers there. We'll be back in a sec. Come make some time today. Jump aboard here on this train because it leaves. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So right now I want to shift focus to discuss the most recent report put out by Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion provider in the country. And I only bring this up because it's important that we look at some of the numbers that are put out there. And all I want to do is bring clarity to the numbers that you see. So I recently wrote a blog about this. That's where I'm going to be getting my information from, and I would encourage you to look yourself as well. You can see the report online. So recently, Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, released their annual report. This report's aim is to highlight their services over the past year. Now, don't expect to read a serious synopsis on their work. Instead, you can expect to read branding, marketing, and propaganda from the abortion giant. So my goal is not to pick apart their report. I will leave that for someone else or maybe a podcast topic for the future. Today, I would rather look at a particular number provided in this report, specifically their abortion services number. Now, over the past year, Planned Parenthood performed 328,348 abortions. This averages out to about 900 abortions every single day in 2016. This number sends chills up my spine, yet Planned Parenthood is not attempting to shield the populace from this number. Now, why is that? Because much of the country either sees no issue with 900 abortions being performed daily by this organization, or they are simply unconcerned about the issue altogether. Now, I realize that some will immediately disregard my opinion and write me off as another extremist out to do harm to women and their reproductive rights. They may even make the quote-unquote 3% argument, claiming abortions only amount to 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. Now, I don't buy this statistic, but nevertheless, this is the one that gets touted the most. At this time, I don't feel the need to break down their reporting or find holes in their data collecting. I would rather take their argument at face value. So let's go with the 3% line of thinking. This number seems minute, and I could see where some might even look the other way for a measly 3%. This would be easy, except for the fact that 328,000 348 individual heartbeats were ended last year in Planned Parenthood clinics. You see, in that 3%, 100% of the lives in the womb were lost. That means that on a daily basis, 900 lives were extinguished at the hands of the abortion giant. Using that terminology changes things, doesn't it? It's easy to miss the bigger picture when we are forced to look at pie charts and percentages. This report intentionally dehumanizes life in the womb. A more truthful headline for this report could be Planned Parenthood successfully ended over 328,000 lives in 2016. This is the reality of the situation. News outlets, politicians, and celebrities can toe the 3% line all they want, but none of that changes the amount of heartbeats that were stopped in 2016 and continue to be stopped now by the abortion giant that is Planned Parenthood. I understand that their work is legal in our society. I understand that my views are not shared by all, but we can never have a thoughtful, productive conversation on the issue of life and abortion if all sides cannot agree to be forthright and honest on what we are dealing with. The hard truth is that many women feel abortion is their only option. This breaks my heart, but it is a fact. This truth, however, doesn't change the fact that abortion ends a life. We as a society must come to grips with both truths if we ever hope to help moms, dads, or babies make it into this world. This is what we have done at Hope for the past 20 years and plan on doing for many, many more years to come. Our goal is to always humanize our patients in and out of the womb. They aren't simple numbers in our data system or line items in our budgets. Every individual we come in contact with was, we believe, created in the image of God. That truth means that they have value and they matter to us. May we never forget that truth as we serve. And so as we look at those numbers, 900 a day. Now, if you pull back from that, there's 3,000, roughly 3,000 abortions in this country every single day. So at times we put all of our focus, we put all of our focus on Planned Parenthood because they're the largest abortion provider. But trust me, they're not the only ones providing the abortions. Okay, so don't think that's the case. There's still roughly a million abortions every single year. But the 3% line I wanted to point out is when you look at an issue. And I know that I've said on here before that our pro-life stance is certainly more than an issue. But let's say for right now that when we look at the issue of life and abortion, and when you put those issues into pie charts, and you put those issues into quick statements, into statistics, then what you do is you dehumanize what you see, right? So now we're looking at pie charts. And we're looking at statistics, and we're looking at graphs, and we're looking at numbers, and we're looking at decimal points, and we're not looking at a human being that is in need. So that's why they think they can go around and tout, well, abortion's only 3% of what we do. Well, 3% of your budget, 3% of what you do sounds minor. So when you hear that, your initial reaction is to go, well, that's not. Why am I concerned about 3%? Why should that bother me? It's very minor in what they do. But then when you look and see, okay, what is 3%? Well, 3% is 900 heartbeats a day that are ended. 3% is 328,000 abortions in Planned Parenthood a year. Well, now that 3% is starting to look a little bit different. Now that should concern us. I mean, that should absolutely concern us. That's why the abortion industry gets mad when commercials or when television shows humanize the fetus. Why do you think they get upset? They get upset because they know that as long as we dehumanize what is inside the womb, people will not react and they will not care. But if we begin to show that a life is inside that womb, that a life is on that ultrasound scan, if we begin to show that and we begin to use that terminology, people will change their mind. And I can prove it to you. If you look over everything that's gone on in the last couple years with police shootings, why has the Why has the narrative changed? Well, because now we have body cam. Now we have dash cam. Now we have all these cameras. We have all these angles. We have cell phone videos. We are being able to see exactly what happened. It's not his word against my word. It is, well, it's on camera. Here's what we see. And what has that done? It's created a response. Why? Because it's humanizing what used to be statistics. It's humanizing what used to be pie charts. It's humanizing what used to be graphs. What used to be simple reports at the end of the year. Now, they're not simple reports. They are actual people that we are seeing with our own eyes. So that's why ultrasounds matter. That's why the 3% number, even if I don't believe that 3% number, but even if we give them that and say, okay, 3% of what you do is abortion, but that still means 900 babies are lost every single day. That's a lot. That number is huge. Almost 330,000 babies a year. And they're proud of it. They've been touting that number. And they tout that number because why? Because it's easy to tout it when it's in a report, when it's in a pie chart, when it's on a graph, when it's on a budget line, when they're saying, well, we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars every single year. We serve millions of people every single year. Only 3% choose abortion. They know what they're doing. They understand marketing. They understand the importance of graphs. They released a video recently with quote-unquote religious leaders who stand with them in their work. Now, their definition of religious leaders would be very, very different than my definition of religious leaders. But they know what they're doing. They don't care about anything the religious would have to say, except if those religious ones would say and toe the party line. We could do an article tomorrow in every publication in the country on the amount of pastors that are standing, the amount of religious leaders that are standing with pregnancy centers, and it would far outnumber those that claim to be religious leaders standing with the abortion industry. The numbers would be amazing how different they would be. But is the Huffington Post writing that article? Is MSNBC talking about that? For that matter, is Fox News talking about that? No, because it's not newsworthy. And see, we're not looking to shift and shape and do all these things. All we're looking to do is say, there are people in need, and we're prepared to love them. They're not pawns in our game, in our chess game. They're not simply things that we can use to push a narrative. They are real people with real needs that are struggling. And how dare us? How dare we put them in a simple pie chart or move them to statistic? We must get above that and do more than that. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back with Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, appreciate you listening today. We will have this, you're either listening on podcast or you're listening live at Joy 620, either one, wherever you're listening to us, whether you're on the road or mowing your yard, whatever that looks like for you. We certainly appreciate you listening to what we're doing. So we also appreciate you partnering with us. So if you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, investinghope.com is where you can go. And you can email me at Andrew at KnoxvilleHope.com. Andrew at KnoxvilleHope.com. We'd love to get you plugged in. If you want to donate, you can click the donate button on our investinghope.com page. And certainly we would welcome your donations. Also, we have new shirts. go to our Facebook page and Instagram page, and you can see our new shirts. And they simply say, loved, valued, respected. And because we want all of our patients, we want all of you to know that you deserve love, you deserve value, and you deserve to be respected. And so we'd love for you to get one of our shirts and wear one of those shirts and have people ask you, what does that mean? Why does your shirt say love, valued, respected? And then you can tell them, well, we partner with Hope Resource Center, and our goal is that every person would know that they are loved, valued, and respected. And we want to thank DW Designs out in Farragut for helping us out with the design and helping us out with those shirts. Are thankful for what they're doing out there as well. So again, today I celebrated dads, and I talked about dads, and then we shifted for a second to talk about the most recent Planned Parenthood report. And if you could take away anything from what we talked about today, I would simply say that when we turn either issues or even relationships into mere statistics and pie charts and flow charts and all these things, when we do that, we stop seeing people as image bearers, and we start seeing people as simply things that we can use in our arsenal, things that we can use in our conversations or in our debates, and just ways to win and push a narrative. We make a huge mistake when we do that. And so I would just encourage you to not simply revert back to statistics. The reason I pointed out the most recent report and even went with their numbers, because I want you to see that even if we give them the numbers and say that they are accurately portraying what is going on in that industry, it doesn't change the fact that 900 lives were extinguished every single day last year at Planned Parenthood. So even if we give them that 3%, that doesn't change anything. The numbers are still huge. They're still drastic. And also, everyone that walked into those doors had to pay, either out of their pocket, or you, the taxpayer, had to pay, or their insurance had to pay. And everyone that walks in the door at a place like Hope Resource Center doesn't have to pay a dime. And so I just want you to know that with your help, with your partnership, with your prayers, with your gifts, we're able to remove obstacles out of these patients' lives instead of putting more obstacles in their way. We're able to not be a burden on the taxpayer, to not be a burden on the government, because you stand and you help us and you give. And the Lord has been amazing over the past 20 years at providing for Hope Resource Center. And our prayer is that would continue, and we trust that it will through your help. I think God is going to use you as a vehicle. And I would say this too, if you are locally here in Knoxville, your work and your impact is reaching people all over this country. And we are able to help a number of different folks, a number of different pregnancy centers, as we have conversations and walk through this journey with a number of different people around this country. And so for that, we thank you as well. If you have questions about Hope, you can certainly, you can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. We'd love to have a chat with you. Thanks again for listening. Please share the podcast when you get a chance. We'd love for you to do that and get more people to join us in this much needed work. We'll talk to you soon. Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead.